Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The firm of Harris and Meringue.
What's funny is the back actually looks pretty good. It's the foot that really needs some action.
With Patrick Harris.
Boy, I'm stroking out today.
And Danny Meringue.
The pucker factor turns into suction.
The college football playoff is here. Four games for a chance at the quarterfinals.
You look at those two teams on paper, and they're almost equal in their schedule strength, their common opponents, the results against their common opponents. But the one metric we had to fall back on, again, was the head-to-head.
This is the firm of Harris and Meringue. First round week of the college football playoff is brought to you by video only on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, hour number deuce here. You missed the first hour, you can go back and check that out on the Fan Podcast, 105.1thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also check us out over on the YouTubes. If you missed Dave Riggard, he was on Dirt and Sprague this morning. He is the voice of JMU football. Nice little convo with him about the program and how they got here. So if you missed any of that, you can check it out. Big Sook will have Dan Lanning, the head coach of your Oregon Ducks, Danny. He'll have Dan Lanning on today at primetime. If you missed any of that, you can check it out on the Odyssey app, the YouTubes, wherever. Just rewind, fast forward, except into the future, baby, because you know. That's impossible.
That's improbable, but not impossible.
Coming up this hour, we'll get to the Bears and the NFL and their big game. Can they pull it off? How they get to their 11th win, plus playoff previews all around the NFL and web gems. But let's get into this. We were talking about getting drunk playing sports last night. The Blazers were the sloppy drunk, okay? If the Seahawks were the waste management tour, the Blazers were like the club with 21-year-olds on a Saturday night.
What was crazy was how this game started. Both teams were shooting over 60% for most of the first quarter. The Blazers ended up shooting 58%, the Kings 63%. It's 40-36 after one, and you're like,
here we go.
Holy crap, this is a game. And then the second quarter happened, and it came to a screeching halt.
I would argue the third was kind of the same way as well.
Oh, I mean, that was the Blazers just crashing into a wall.
We've decided no longer do we play basketball.
They went from going 36 in the first, 27 in the second, 19 in the third, and it was just, I don't know what happened. The Kings could not hit anything to save their life from three last night. They took 19 total threes. 19.
I talk about this with you all the time. I'm used to seeing like 43, 46 threes taken in a
Blazers
game.
Took 45.
Yeah, and 19, even I think that's too little.
I mean, that's just, it's crazy when you really think about it. And the only guy who hit more than one was DeMar DeRozan, who was 3 of 4, who's not a 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
And two of the ones he hit were absolutely diabolical.
he's a good player.
Oh, DeMar.
We talk about this Kings team all the time, man. They got good players.
I mean, Maxime Renault went out there and gave Donovan Klingon that work.
Yeah, they have good players. They're players that don't work.
No, it's the island of misfit toys. None of it really fits together. None of it really makes sense. But it doesn't matter if you don't get back in transition. If you wonder why Shaedon Sharpe wasn't playing in the overtime, it's not just a minutes restriction. It's because he was doo-doo.
Well, it sounded like Tiago said that he was that.
You ever heard of a 35-minute restriction?
I mean, maybe, yeah.
If it's
your calf or your leg, why can't it be?
No, absolutely not.
I don't know. It sounds like you're picking on
No, absolutely not. 35 minutes, if you played 35, it doesn't matter. You've played 35 minutes.
But those extra 5 minutes are a lot more intense than the other 35.
No, I'm not even going to let you get that out. Absolutely not.
I trust Tiago in this. If he says that, I believe him. Otherwise, I think he would have said something like, we felt Donovan was the better option to win. Not throwing Shaden under the bus, but saying, I think we feel that he is a better option. That's coach speak.
Because it wasn't Donovan they went with. It was CeeDee and Chris that they went with.
Oh, I guess I was just looking. It was when the overtime started, it was Shaden that was pulled and Donovan was there. And it might, my bad. But regardless, whether it's Donovan or CeeDee, dude, CeeDee didn't have a great overtime either.
No. But what he did do was get back on defense.
So what I would argue is that even if quote unquote, Shaden was not great and that's why he got pulled, I would still rather run Shaden out there than CeeDee Sissoko. I would. Because if they're both going to play like garbage, I'd rather take the shot on my $90 million guy.
No, they went with a guy who was getting back on defense. That's the issue. Because it wasn't their offense that was – they scored 134 points. Now, what's crazy is in the overtime, there was 37 total points.
That's a big 5 minutes.
Nuts
that's
for
a big
overtime.
That's a big 5 minutes. I mean, there were shooting woes across the board for the Blazers here. Jeremy Grant had a rough night shooting, but to your point, as we talked before the show, he filled in the stat sheet in other places, was still a contributor. I was a little disappointed in Donovan on the boards. Remember we talked yesterday? This is a game where he could.
Yeah, you actually got it right on the points. I was like, this is a game he should work on the glass.
If you can give me 19, 20 points and give me 11 boards in this game, you're perfect. And he finishes with 8 boards. I mean, 8 boards is still great. And
5 are more offensive. But on the defensive glass, man, I mean, the Kings, a team that's not that big. The lineups they were playing were not that big. And the Kings beat them on the glass. Now, the Blazers got, 11 more shots up, so there's a little bit more frequency in there. But the Kings were able to get in this game without making threes because they hit their free throws. Good God, Blazers.
Please.
So many missed free throws. I mean, Donovan, 5 of 13. Just,
well, it's
woof.
It's not so many free throws. It's
12. 12. They shot 63% from the free throw line.
Understood.
That is bad.
It's mostly Donovan.
Yes.
Sharp is only 0 for 2. Denny was 10 of 12. But Jeremy's 3 of 3. Tumani's 2 of 2. Chris Murray's 1 of 1. It's really just Donovan putting that stat line. So I wouldn't say the team needs to shoot better free throws. I would say Donovan Klingon, you need to shoot better
Donovan
free throws.
Donovan and Shaden missing the two.
It's tough. Rough. Seven-footers, I mean... Why did we create Hack-A-Shaq? Because big guys are notoriously not great free throw shooters.
Unfortunately, horribly timed turnovers.
Especially in overtime.
Well, I mean, Shea had two in the fourth quarter that were just like...
Sissoko had some bad ones,
and then
too.
There was the inbound twice.
And Denny had one that led to a turn. Wasn't technically a turnover, but led to a turnover. The biggest, craziest thing for me, other than the Blazers peeing down their legs with shorts on, was... It was honestly the call that bailed them out. I was talking with the Sunrise guys.
It should not have
guys.
Been a foul.
I was like,
should not have been a foul.
Did Denny just get a superstar call?
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
That what just happened here?
Yeah.
I mean, cool, good for Denny that he's getting those calls right now. It was a bad call.
Oh, they should not have gotten that. And look, I don't want to sit here and just poop on Shaden because he was phenomenal in the first quarter.
Yeah, there's that
he
talent.
He was so good in the first quarter.
But that's,
I was sitting there going, oh, okay.
But
like he's stringing these together now.
But that's why I think if he is fully healthy, is not on a minutes restriction. That's why
there's
I throw
no
him
minutes
out there.
Restriction. You're playing 35 minutes. No, but, I've been doing this for 14 years. I've been watching the game for 35 years. I've never heard of a 35 minute minutes restriction ever.
But once you get to that moment, maybe he's gassed. Maybe he's gassed, dude.
Okay. I'll just say this. The only starter who had a negative plus minus last night was Shaden.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He was really bad in the second half.
I would be shocked if Truth Serum said to Tiago Splitter that Shaden was benched because he sucks.
It would be the least surprising thing.
Yeah.
Least surprising thing. He's done it already this season, not just with him, with other guys.
Maybe it's revisionist history that when I look at, you know, the replacements of CeeDee Sissoko, who was equally as bad in his time down the stretch.
But the thing
when
is, you keep saying equally as bad. He wasn't equally as bad because
he's
doing the other thing on the other end that they want him to do.
Yeah, but Shaden might not have those same turnovers. So it's like kind of where are you going to pick your poison here?
I'm looking at Shaden's turnovers right now. He did.
But in that overtime is what I'm saying.
I mean, CeeDee had two turnovers in
costly
29 minutes.
I know, both in overtime. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying, is would you rather have that defensive prowess or do you need to score buckets?
Well, I mean, they weren't having trouble scoring.
All right.
That's what I'm at.
All right.
And how did the Kings score last night? How did the Kings score?
You tell me.
Because their fast break points were 27-4.
There's that pace.
It's not just that. It's not getting back. Mm-hmm. The number of runouts that happened last night was disgusting. Points in the paint. The Kings had 74 points in the paint. I mean,
I know that's an earth to Donovan right there.
But it's also because they were getting out in transition, and not even in transition, they were running out off makes. They did not have the requisite defensive intensity. They did not get back. They did not stop the ball. The number of odd man opportunities, 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s, 4-on-3s, it was egregious last night. And if this is any other team, you're getting walked out of the gym.
And I think that's what's alarming, is that Sacramento and New Orleans are probably the two worst teams in the West.
And Sacramento didn't play Malik Monk last night because there's this whole thing about will he, won't he get traded and all these other things. They didn't have LaVine. They didn't have Sabonis.
Yeah. And that's really concerning to me, is that this team is at the bottom of the barrel and they're coming back. What was it?
Maxime Renaud went for 29-11.
I was just about to say that. They went on a 17-2 run in the final 2.5 minutes of regulation. Like, that's alarming.
And this is not to just hear bag on Shaden, because Denny had one too a little bit earlier. But they had a chance to basically run out almost the entirety of the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaden decides he wants to take a shot with 13 seconds on the shot clock.
That's a kid right there. And you got to, like, make smarter choices than that.
What are you doing, dog? That's two whole possessions.
Yeah,
and right. It was a mid-range pull-up.
Yeah, you got to make better choices than that. And he'll learn from that.
And that's the thing is, like, over the last couple of games, what we talked about, it wasn't just been his production, it's been his decision-making. It was really good. And hell, the first quarter...
Some good ball movement from him last night.
Yes, and that, especially in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. I thought he was... I'm like, you know what? Maybe he's putting this thing together. Maybe he's figuring out. That second half was not it.
Yeah. Hard for the kid. He's got to focus on a lot of different stuff.
Here's the crazy thing about last night. All this being said, Denny still finishes with 35-5-5. And Jeremy Grant absolutely baptized Renaud.
Yeah.
My goodness. Off two. Just absolute hammer.
Yeah, you said this, and I'm going to steal it. It's too bad that Jeremy's shooting numbers for the night weren't that great, because that dunk was awesome.
I mean, that's one of the most vicious off two posters of a 7-footer that I've ever seen live.
Did you, what'd you hear from him after the game? What did he say?
Yeah, he said, you know, what was the exact words were, yeah, no, I used to be able to get up a little bit. I think people do kind of forget that Jeremy Grant was a second-round pick who was an athlete.
Oh, yeah,
out of Syracuse.
Oh, yeah. I like it when the old dogs are like, oh, yeah, I mean, I could still play.
He's tried to do this, and not tried to. He's had more of, like, poster vicious dunks at the rim, not like runway dunks, but like off vert, off one, off two in 26 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
Then at any period of time, he's been a Blazer.
I know, and we forget it because we love the Shaden runway dunks.
Look, Lamar Hurd was on with the boys the other morning. He ain't wrong. There's probably nobody in the NBA right now who, if you see him get two steps, that you perk up more for.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're like, you do the Lamar Hurd, the, you know, as you just absolutely lose it because you're going to do it. But, man, last night was not good.
You got a dub, though. Got the dub.
I'm a firm believer that you learn your best in losses, but they can't afford to lose these games.
I think the way this one went down is flashing lights. This game is going to resonate like a loss.
Normally, I am a...
It's a collapse.
I'm a burn the game tape kind of guy when it's this. I said it last night on TV. This is the kind of game where you strap them to the chair, tape their eyelids open with toothpicks, and force
Clockwork
them to,
Orange style.
Yeah, make them watch this and go, you cannot get away with this any other night in the league.
Blazers win, 134-133, hoping to avoid a second loss to the Kings. They'll take them on Saturday, and I'm sure on Monday, Danny will have plenty for you on the Blazers as they survive somehow by the hair of their sweet chinny chin chin. Against the Sacramento Kings last night in Portland on Pride Night. When we come back, the Bears take on the Packers this weekend. They're looking for their 11th win and a stronghold on the division. Can they make it happen? I think it lies in the hands of one man. That's next. Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Well, I don't know how this NFL weekend's going to get any better after the game of the year last night as the Seahawks defeat the Rams 38-37 in overtime and just a wild series of events in how that game went down. You caught 12 passes, 225 yards, two touchdowns, and you're a loser in Puka Nacua? I mean, he's a loser in different ways for, you know, comments and...
Stay off Twitter.
Et cetera. Yeah, dude, stay off Twitter and don't talk about other people. But, like, that's a wild stat line to see that... Matt Stafford threw the ball almost 50 times, no sacks, and lost.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. I don't know how the NFL is going to cap that, but they're going to give it a shot on Saturday. The 5:30 game on Fox is Packers-Bears in Chicago.
And nobody's playing.
That's sounds what it like sounds
Josh
like.
Jacobs and Christian Watson are going to be out. There's no Roma Dunze or who's the other injured receiver for the Bears.
But I love that because when we first heard that, because I think we heard the no receivers yesterday for the Bears, and we knew Watson was a little iffy, but I did this Josh Jacobs thing came out of nowhere for me. But, I mean, that's sometimes the nature of the beast playing running back. Dude, you just get hit
He's been playing dinged up for a while now.
Obviously I don't root for injuries, but after I heard the receivers out for the Bears, I was like, man, that stinks. I'll take the Packers big in this. Well, things kind of even out when it comes to the offense as far as weapons go. You know, the Packers are missing their best weapons. The Bears are losing their best weapons in their receiving group. Still got great running backs.
Oh, it's Luther Burden. That was who was out. And then Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift are both questionable for the Bears.
Oh, I don't like that. I just said the running backs were going to be there because that's what they're going to have to lean on. You know, the Packers don't have Micah Parsons, but if you tell me right now who I'm taking to be in control of this game, Jordan Love or Caleb Williams, I know I'm harsh on Caleb Williams, and I know that sometimes it might not be.
It's got to be a coming.
It might not be validity.
It needs to be a coming out party for him.
It really does. It really does. I think Jordan Love can play average and win this game. Caleb's going to have to be efficient, consistent, and smart. And I know that's like, well, duh, that's how quarterbacks play. But I'm talking like extra. When I watch my teams play on TV, you know how we all yell at the TV sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
We're watching our teams. They do something stupid or they do something great. Do you have like a go-to line?
I can't say it.
Oh, okay. my go-to line is when it's a pressure situation or when things are starting to get shaky, I go, all right, guys, be smart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always say. Be smart. And it's in like a slow down, be calm, and be smart. Think about this for a moment. And that's what Caleb's going to have to do, in my opinion, to make this thing happen. Otherwise, it can go sideways really quickly. Look, this Packer defense loses Micah Parsons. They're still a pretty damn good unit.
They are. But here's the thing. If the Bears can win this game, they can basically control this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this fundamentally comes down to, because you'll split the series with the Packers. And this, when we looked at this, I want to say like 5 weeks ago, I was like, we're going to know about the Bears because they're going to play the Packers twice, basically, to close out the season. And whether or not they're real or not is going to be on the table. Because they finished, I think it was after they played the Steelers. They beat the Steelers, and they had Eagles, Packers, Browns, Packers, Niners. I think that's what it was. I'm sorry, it was after they played the Eagles. It was they had the Packers, Browns, Packers, 49ers. And we were going to know very much what this team was.
Mm-hmm.
And they play a close game with the Packers in Lambeau. They drop that game. They beat the living crap out of the Browns. Now they get the Packers at home. And we were just in Chicago last week, a little layover, but there were still quite a bit of snow on the ground. And we've all seen the video, if you haven't, of the guy with the RC Coke.
I haven't.
Oh, have you not seen this? A guy at the Bears game
on
Sunday. It turned into a slushy in his hand.
Oh, wow.
The wind chill was like minus 10.
That sounds like Chicago to me.
Yeah, so it's not going to be that bad.
Does it happen like that in northern Indiana, too?
Yeah. All that wind off the lakes, man.
God, you losers. Just figure it out. You have an NFL team. Just build the damn stadium.
They seem to have the agreement, and then it just fell apart out of nowhere. But it does appear it's going to be a little bit warmer, but... You know, the real feel is still in the 20s. So It looks like at 5 o'clock, it's going to be about 36 degrees. The real feel is going to be 24 degrees. Thankfully, the wind's not ripping, but it is still 15 to 20 miles an hour, it looks like. I'm sorry, it's gusting up to 30.
But guess what? But that doesn't play a factor because Green Bay plays in that weather, too.
I'm not talking about the teams. I'm just talking about the style of game that you play. Because that does change it. Because
it does.
If Josh Jacobs can't go, and you've got to kind of ground and pound it a little bit, you kind of wonder. Because that Bears running attack has been, I mean, what they have done this season. Everybody points to that Caleb hasn't thrown for 350 yards, blah, 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 blah. This Bears offense is still like the number five offense in the league.
I know. I think when it comes to the weather, though, and I agree, I mean, it's kind of the age-old thing in bad weather games. Like, if you're in Buffalo, give the ball to James Dalvin Cook III, not to be confused with Dalvin James Cook. You want to run the ball. I just have a ton of faith in Jordan Love's experience and his eyesight and his brain throwing the ball still in cold weather. Caleb, I'm not there yet. I don't know if I'll ever be. Again, I'm harder on Caleb than I probably should be, but I also think that I'm not wrong, if that makes sense.
No, it doesn't. But the Bears are the fifth best offense in the league right now. I think they're seventh in points scored. Their rushing attack, they are second behind the Bills.
That's a balance. Johnson.
They have the second best running game in the league.
Safe to say year one returns on Ben Johnson are pretty good.
I mean, they're 10-4.
I know.
Remember we were talking about coming into the season, hey, can the Bears win 9 games?
They were like the dark horse to be like a sneaky wild card team, and they could win,
the division.
The second best division in football. Yeah.
And that's what their defense just playing like buns most of the year.
I'm going to take the Packers in this game. Not pretty. I don't think it's going to be a pretty game.
Everything is telling me to take the Packers. I'm going to take the Bears because it's not even Caleb. There's something.
Just teasing you.
No, I know.
I put the fight up on.
Yeah, no. So fight on.
Fight on. Whatever. Whatever you idiots do.
Yeah, there you go. But this kind of feels like the Commanders last year. Like they just kind of kept finding ways. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, totally. Totally. Winning close games. Normally it could go either way. It goes your way. I mean, that Commanders thing, quote unquote, took them to a title game.
Yeah.
Took them to a conference title game. And that's not a bad life to live.
No. And look, do I see the Bears doing that? No. I mean, if the defense can find its footing in the playoffs, you know, anything can happen. Because here's the thing. They can run the ball, and Caleb will make inexplicable, terrible throws, but he'll also make four or five throws in a game that make you go, holy crap, what was that?
And that's why you see the talent in Caleb. And that's probably why I can admit that I am too hard on Caleb.
He makes a throw that only three or four of the guys in the league can make.
Because I do not acknowledge some of the escapability and throws that he can make.
But it's not consistency. It's the inconsistency.
I know. And I got to stop looking at him in such a negative light. Because, look, the fingernail painting, the crying with mom.
He's a different cat.
That stuff never really bothered me. I'm cool with weirdos. You know, my kids and I, we teach each other and yell at each other all the time. If you're not weird, you're not cool. Like, you know how boring it would be to not be weird? So I don't have any problems with Caleb as a human being. I got to find a way to stop banging on him for pissing me off on those bad throws and maybe try to appreciate the good throws because I do that with most other people.
Jordan Love?
Yeah. I mean, I'm guilty as charged.
The Jordan Love experience is not as detrimental sometimes, but he can disappear even more.
And I'm an apologist.
Yes.
And I should probably balance myself.
That's why you like Dante Moore, because you see Jordan Love in him.
That's not a bad place to be.
No, it's not.
That's not a bad place to be. I mean, I took the Packers to win the Super Bowl.
You did.
That's
now. Probably what it is. It's like you just like that. You've latched onto it, and you're like, I can't let that go.
Die on this hill. Yeah. Let's take a peek around the NFL and look at some other divisional matchups, playoff matchups, things like that that'll affect the outcome and who goes to the dance and who doesn't. Because by the time we get to Sunday, we've already had two massive implications in the NFC. So we'll take a peek at the AFC and the other games as well. We'll do all that next. But first, that guy over there, that's the big kahuna with sports.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Getting higgy with it.
Swagalicious.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
All right, we got Web Gems coming up next here. Everybody's favorite at 11:45. Anything you guys can help me out with? I need to add to my portrait of a raccoon in a luxury dress suit, with some trash bags and some other things that can go for this white elephant gift. If you can help me out with that, 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. Or over on the YouTube chat, and we're talking about the NFL here. We've already been delivered one great game. I'm sorry, I don't expect Eagles-Commies to be a great game on Saturday. Although, who knows? Maybe Mariota gives us a ball here and upsets the Eagles, because that would be definitely a fun talking point. Looking through the rest of the schedule, boy, there's some rough games this weekend, my friend. This 49ers-Colts game on Monday all of a sudden became very, very interesting due to where the Colts sit in the AFC picture, but also the fact that the Niners are in the driver's seat.
The Colts are like this weird linchpin to like 80 billion different playoff scenarios. It's super weird with how the schedule worked out.
The Colts game against the Seahawks with Philly Rivers at the dish.
Mm-hmm.
Highest rated Colts game in
last
like
5 years.
5 years. That's wild. That's so crazy. I can't believe Rivers has that much of a pull.
Uncle Phil delivers.
He really does. I can't wait to watch him play on Monday night when I sit on my fat ass at home. Let's go through this. Let's see. Chargers, Cowboys, woof. Bills, Browns, woof. Chiefs, Titans might be the most woof of the weekend.
Hey, what do you mean? That's your Kugoff.
Okay, cool. My backup quarterback versus my future backup quarterback. Mm. Awesome. It's not fair.
I love how much you hate Cam Ward.
It's not fair to Cam
Ward. Is there a quarterback that you like not named Jordan Love?
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow?
I love Joe. I love Josh. Lamar. Gotta love Matt Stafford.
Mm.
Can't disagree with that. I love Herbie, you know, because I'm a secret Duck fan.
That's not a secret.
There's plenty of quarterbacks that I love.
Jets, Saints. Good God.
I took the Saints on that. Saints are favored by 6.5.
Falcons, Cardinals. I think I'd rather watch an actual Falcon fight an actual Cardinal.
The only benefit you have in that is it's Kirkers at the dish, and you know he is going to give it his all. He really is. The biggest game of the Sunday slate is probably Jags-Broncos, but I give you a sneaky one of Bucks at Panthers.
Well, I mean, it's for the division, maybe.
That might be that's probably a standalone game for me on Sunday. I will probably watch that, maybe dual screen with the red zone, but the morning slate is not that exciting to me. But this Bucks-Panthers game, I'm probably going to hate watch the living hell out of it because... Well, both these teams are tough to watch sometimes, but it's for everything. I mean, it's on the line right then and there.
I mean, what's on the line?
Playoffs.
I guess.
We out on both these teams going to the playoffs? One of them is going to host a game.
The Bucks are just beat to hell, and the Panthers suck.
Yeah, the Bucks might need a new coaching staff.
And it does sound like that's heading down that road, which, I mean...
Have you seen them the last few weeks?
So it's going to be Baker's, what, fourth OC in 4 years?
And his, what, 10th in his career?
Yeah. I mean,
they've lost one, moved on me, 6 of their last 8.
Mm-hmm.
They have wins against the Saints and the Cardinals. They've lost to the Saints and the Falcons in back-to-back weeks.
And got crushed by the Rams.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's sad, man, because they were such a fun team to start the season.
Look, it's crappy for sure, but, I mean, there's a lot on the line. What is the NFL really good at? The NFL's really good at giving you drama, giving you storylines, giving you a reason to be there. And this is a reason to be there for me. Now, when it comes to the afternoon slate, you got Steelers-Lions. I'm not sure how that turns out. That's, you want to talk about it?
Time to nut up or shut up.
Hell yeah, Lions, this is your season. And you can beat this Steeler team. You can. But as we just talked about, Packers-Bears, they're light years ahead of you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they light years ahead of you in terms of being better? I don't think so. I think Detroit has just had a really rough go this year.
Yeah.
I think losing both coordinators is no joke.
Difficult thing to overcome.
They have losses against the Packers. They lost against a full-strength Chiefs team who looked to be back at that point. They lost to a Vikings team. That was an odd game. The Vikings played their ass off and won that game. The Eagles are Super Bowl champs. You lose another one of the Packers. Like they've had a tough schedule. I'll give them that.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not light years behind Chicago or Green Bay.
No.
But if you lose this game, you out.
Which is crazy to think about.
You out. You out. Patriots, Ravens, they're in the same boat. Ravens are in the same boat.
Ravens have to hope and pray.
You lose this game, you're out.
Because they end the season with the Steelers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. If you're a Ravens fan, you're diehard Lions this weekend. Also, the scariest thing, if you're the AFC North, is the Texans have the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
That'll get them to their 10th win. A team who at the beginning of the year, we were like, D'Amico's rah-rah ain't so rah-rah anymore. And it's like, oh, wait. No, his coaching is coaching right now.
I mean, I'm just going to beat this horse until it's dead. The number of times they have allowed more than 20 points this season. To the Jags, 29. To the Seahawks on the road, 27. Is that it?
Say this again?
The number of times that the Texans have allowed more than 20 points this season. Let's see. No. So, yeah, the 29 to the Jags, 27 to the Seahawks. That's it.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, they allowed 20 to the Bucs. So, yeah, allowed more than 20 twice this season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They've allowed 20 on the dot. One, two, three times? Yeah, three times. And, so, I mean, they've been under 20 every other game.
Yeah. That's what they're doing.
You're holding a team under three scores every game, basically.
They're very, very scary. They're a team I want nothing to do with.
Goodness gracious,
like,
man.
Thank God I'm riding the Seahawks train right now, and my pick was the Green Bay Packers. I'm very happy from a pick standpoint that they are in the NFC because they can avoid that until you get to the big one.
Yeah, I mean, good God. What are they at on the season now, points allowed per game?
I think it should be under 16.
16.3.
Your last big one that we get into is Jags-Broncos, okay? Patriots take on the Ravens. I think Patriots will take care of business there, but because they need to keep up with the Broncos and trying to get the number one.
I think I ended up picking this game.
Say this again?
The Jags-Broncos line is Denver 3.5.
That's a pick'em.
It's at Denver.
That's a pick'em.
That's kind of crazy that they're calling it like that, as good as the Broncos have looked.
Well, I think a lot of it is that the Jags are playing really well right now, but also the Broncos offense,
it's a diesel engine. It takes a long time to get started.
Yeah, I think if you're a casual fan, I think you probably have a lot of issues with this Broncos offense. They're definitely slow to get going. Like you said, first half Bo is not great, but second half Bo is fantastic. And coming off the game he had last week, if they can put that together, number one seed right there. I saw it on the YouTube chat. I believe it was Rufio said it earlier. Seattle could play, you know, four quarters of B-plus football and get to the NFC title game and be favored. I think they could win that game. They go into the Super Bowl. If they play the Broncos, Broncos might whoop them, even with that offense being a struggle. So I think there's two sides you look at. Are the Broncos due for a clunker by Bo in that offense?
Probably.
Can Jacksonville get out to a big enough lead that they can't come back on?
They have to claw it back.
Because the Broncos had a big comeback earlier this year, but I can't remember who it was. Yeah, the Giants. They had that, but that's the Giants.
Yeah.
This is the Jags, who are leading their division and going to the playoffs.
Been pretty solid.
This is a playoff matchup right here.
Duval.
I think I took the Jags in it to be spicy in a pick'em. I believe the Broncos will win in the pick'em, though. I took the Jags to be spicy, trying to catch people off
guard. I know
it
was on my list. I don't know if I ended up picking it. I'm trying to find my...
I know in the old happy hour pick'em, I, of course, had to take my Jacksonville Jaguars. That's
the only pick'em I do. I did the happy hour pick'em.
I took Denver.
And I took Jacksonville.
Trevor
for
Lawrence
funsies.
And his beautiful hair and his Easter Island statue face.
He is a good-looking dude, but he's got that long kind of nose, face, chin thing.
It's like him and the Bosas.
I like Denver to win this game, but if you are doing a pick'em, if you're doing a gambling, this might be a one to be spicy on.
I took Denver, but I picked it earlier, and I got Denver -2.5.
Oh, hey.
So I got a little bit better.
Oh, okay.
So Yep, I took Chargers 1.5 over Dallas, Minnesota -2.5 over the Giants, Cincinnati -1.5 over Miami, Denver -2.5 over Jacksonville, and Patriots +2.5 over the Ravens.
503-864-6326. This text says, last weekend was an anomaly with multiple great matchups in the NFL. This week we're back to the usual. So many unwatchable games. I agree, but the good news is every window has something that's worthwhile.
As it pertains to the Patriots, Vrabel came out with the injury report today for the Patriots, and that's why that line has gone. It's a lot of dudes.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of dudes. And the Ravens are desperate.
Yeah, every window has something good. I mean, I'll be watching the Chargers with a little side eye to see if they can dismiss the Cowboys.
Would love to see it.
Would love to see it. But Bucks Panthers in the morning window.
Chargers somehow could end up being 11-4 through 15 games.
Somehow. That's good quarterback play. That's good defense. That's good coaching.
Man.
That's good coaching. Bucks Panthers in the morning window. Jags Broncos in the afternoon with a little Steelers Lions. Dessert in the afternoon window, Patriots, Ravens in the night on Sunday, and Niners, Colts on Monday. And you got Packers, Bears on Saturday after, you know, some college football. I'm going to be watching the Duck game, but I'm going to pull up my iPad and I'm going to put both on. I'm going to watch them. I don't like to do the side-by-side when it's Duck games, just because Duck games are kind of like a little bit of our bread and butter here. But I do really, really want to watch this Bears-Packer game. I really do.
Just do two screens. You don't have to do side by side.
I don't have a place to set up a second screen in my house.
Don't you have the iPad?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Let's put the iPad up.
Okay. As I said,
I thought you meant like grab another TV.
I mean, if you're not going to be a coward about it, yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely a coward about it. All right, we come back. We'll get to Web Gems, everybody's favorite. 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
All right, this Web Gems, everybody's favorite. We do it every single day at 11:45. Coming up on the big nooner, final hour of the show, and I will see you guys in about 10 days. We'll get to James Madison and the Oregon Ducks as they take on the college football playoff. We'll also get to a little Mario Cristobal chat, see what he needs to do to change his. He's almost in like the opposite world of Kalen DeBoer. You know what I mean? They love him in Miami, but he's not like winning the games like DeBoer can. And then closing arguments to send you on your way. But today's Web Gem is brought to you by the Heisman Trophy. There's some more fallout on Diego Pavia's response to not winning the situation. Couple things here. Where do we go? Do we go kettle and pot, Rusty, or do we go the legitimate guy first?
Oh, I think, yeah, it's a hello, kettle. Yeah, it's pot. You're black.
This is a quote. Diego, me, everyone else on this earth has flaws. Nobody handles every situation correctly. And there's times you look back on life and realize you make a mistake. That'll continue to be the case for me and everyone until our last day on earth. Do I love and support Diego? Of course. Do I think what he did this weekend went too far? Of course. I spoke to him about it, and he feels terrible. All you can do is wake up the next day and move forward with your life, striving to be a better person and not make a similar mistake. Me, on the other hand, I'm going to talk my S and fire back at all of you that come for me. That is Heisman Trophy quarterback winner Johnny Manziel saying that Pavia went too far.
I mean,
it's easy for Johnny to say he won the trophy.
But
you think Johnny Manziel acts this way if he doesn't win the trophy? The guy who lost 40 pounds from blow?
Well, also, Johnny Manziel was 11 billion times better.
11 billion. Maybe 12 billion.
Yeah, it wasn't close. But also, if it's so sideways that Johnny's like, yo, dude.
Shut up.
You're doing... The thing is, Johnny's looking at this, honestly, from a pretty mature standpoint of, I acted a fool... I got away with it. I was a lot better.
Yes, a lot better. I beat Alabama once.
Like, you don't get to act a fool and not even be coming anywhere near what I'm at.
There's a grown-up in the room, too. This is Reese Davis on Diego Pavia not winning the Heisman. And there's a funny thing, an interesting thing in here from this.
This one was different. I regretted the vote because after Pavia's behavior in the aftermath, I was like, man, I'm glad he didn't win. I'm glad he didn't win. That's not the way you should feel about a player that's as great as Pavia is on the field. I am delighted that Mendoza won because he will represent the Heisman in the way that I think it should be represented. And I don't know if Pavia has learned anything from the response and the backlash from his reaction to losing. I get it. It's disappointing, man. It's close to the Heisman. Always wanted to win it. I get it. Got to suck it up sometimes, man. Every now and then in life, you got to wear a fastball in the ribs. Too bad. And he couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And
that is Reese Davis on winning the Heisman. I think the funny thing in there is that Reese Davis voted for Diego Pavia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious as to why. I mean, I respect Reese a lot. I love him. I met him once. Super nice guy. I think him as a professional, what he does for mm-hmm. game day is
incredible.
What we do for a living, that's a guy you should look up to. I think he does a phenomenal, phenomenal job, the role he does. I was surprised to hear that he voted for him. Look, he's not wrong.
I mean, Diego did get a lot of first-place votes. But also, we had Rob Stone when we were in Baltimore, and he said when Fernando Mendoza came back in that game and made that throw against Ohio State, he was like, my vote's in. I'm done. This is done. Yeah. We all talked. This is over.
Well, you want to know the underlying similarity between that?
Mm.
Who does Rob Stone cover?
Mm.
The Big Ten.
Mm.
Who does Reese Davis cover?
Mm.
The SEC. I hope that's not how Reese Davis voted. I don't think he is. That's the way he voted. But look, you've got the adult in the room, and you've got the biggest child in the room telling you you went too far.
Yeah,
I'm pretty glad that I'm probably never going to really hear about Diego Pavia again.
Yeah, I mean, just this is what the instant fame, the instant money. What did anybody win the Powerball?
I drove in this morning and it said 1.2 bill.
1.2, I thought it was 1.5.
Or 1.5, I don't know. Okay. It gets really small on the board. And you know me, I'm blind.
But like my point being, what happens with all those winners when they get that kind of money?
Yeah.
When you get the kind of fame that's instantaneous.
Right.
And I'm not saying Diego Pavia didn't work for it.
No, but great college quarterback.
But when the light gets on you and how you react, those are the kind of things we talked about with quarterback play, not just him, but in the NFL. It's and not even just quarterback play, just being a dude in professional sports. It's hard to not get caught up in almost like the idolatry of it all. Do you know what I mean? Like you start believing your own stuff too much and you don't have the right people speaking
smelling
into your life.
Your own farts, yeah.
And I think that's the thing that becomes too much is you hear how great you are and how awesome you are. And there's, it sounds corny, but it's humility.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's such a fine line between humility and arrogance. Okay. There really is.
Really is.
And because you can be, to be truly great, to be the greatest of all time, to be Michael Jordan, to be LeBron James, to be Wayne Gretzky, to be Tom Brady, to be that great, humility doesn't come with a game. It doesn't. You are such an arrogant D-bag that you are willing, the same thing is true in business. You are so willing to step on anyone and destroy everything to be the literal best.
Tom's Braids is not a guy that I'd really be interested in hanging out with.
I wouldn't want to hang out with Michael Jordan or Jeff Bezos or like
Michael might be different.
I think you say that, but I think once you get past the shock, the idolatry of
the first 5 minutes, you're like, oh my God, it's Michael Jordan. Then the next hour, you're like,
Probably a good hang, but also probably gets a little tiring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you hear all those the stories about these guys in the sense of like, Michael Jordan looking over at the bench and saying, I'm going to bet you $200 right now. I'm going to give your guy 40. It's funny. But at the same time, he's willing to demolish this other person and embarrass and humiliate them in a manner that just doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like you have to be a borderline sociopath to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The humble guys, you don't like they disappear from the game and you don't really hear about them anymore. Like Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
Great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't really hear about him or from him or anything along those lines.
We even heard stuff from Peyton Manning, who by all accounts is a nice guy, but remember the Vanderjack stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And even on his Monday Night Football show, him and Eli take shots at each other and at other people all the time.
What was it? Austin Colley, when he was with the Colts, went up for a one-handed catch, and Peyton Manning railed him so hard and said, if you ever do that again, you'll never see another ball. Like, it's just, and to bring this back to Diego Pavia, and I'm not saying that you have to be good enough to do this, but you have to be good enough to do this.
On the text line, Tim Duncan's greatness is overlooked because he wasn't an arrogant ass. It's the truth.
Ding, 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 ding,
and
ding.
And I have Timmy D as a top five player.
Timmy D is a top five player. Mm,
I do, too. All right, let's get out of here. Let's get to the big nooner. Ducks and Dukes on the Fan this Saturday. We'll get to that. Break down how James Madison got here. I want to talk about their coaches for a little bit. Then we'll get into the actual game. We'll make picks, scores, all that kind of stuff, and what the Ducks need to do to ensure this game does not get out of hand. We'll do that. Big nooner, 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.